So I'll switch back over now into the next phase. And this is a, I think this is probably one of the things that was requested a lot yesterday. And that we kept talking about a whole bunch of things that you can do within the environment, and people kept saying, well, what is there for touch? What is there for support for doing things like custom input or gestures or things like that? So with what little time that we have, because it is such a fun thing, what would you say, Mr. Jeremy, is the answer for custom input and gestures? What are some of the things that we can do?
I think we should probably take a look at that. We actually had this question the other day. That is, what we were talking about the click event, and they say, well, what if you're using a finger or a pen? Is that considered a click?
Right.
And so we need to look at the way that that's handled in the framework. It's actually one of my favorite parts about the framework, because the way that Windows 8 handles the user input by way of touch and pen and mouse is truly excellent. I told you that last week I played with a planar monitor. I think that's P-L-A-N-A-R, planar, and they have a 30-point touch monitor that's like 27 inches, and there were a whole bunch of three of us with our hands on the monitor, and it's capturing all those points. Now, on some competing platforms that also recognize touch, these points are handled in kind of an array, and every time a finger is removed or added, the contents of that array change, and it's difficult to keep track of where what finger is where.
I see.
Every single point in the framework, using the MS pointer model that we use, is considered a different touch point and can be individually captured and controlled, and any of those touch points can feed gestures, and you can recognize the gestures. And then even at a higher level, or perhaps a lower level, then the gestures are these manipulations that you can use, and so there's just a whole bunch to it. Now, at the very bottom, the very easiest thing for you to do is to simply use the click event like you saw us doing. So let me get to my slide here and show you the kind of this four-step sequence that I wanted you to see. The first thing that you want to do is use the click event. Now, if the click event doesn't work for you because the click event doesn't discern between a mouse and a pen and a finger, then you need to use the MS pointer events, because the MS pointer events do discern between these different touch point types. And you're able to say, for instance, if the user is using a pen, then I want them to be drawing. But if they're using a finger, then I want to swipe and move my UI. I want to pan. So you can act differently for the different types of touch. Now, if capturing the MS pointer and just referring to the clicks and the movements and things like that isn't enough for you, then you can use a gesture. You can capture it using a gesture. There's an object in the framework called a gesture recognizer, and you can recognize gestures like I'm holding for a certain number of seconds, or I'm swiping, or something like that. And then you can also, if just recognizing gestures isn't enough, like for instance, let's say you want to define your own weird gesture, like if they make a figure eight in your app, you want it to act a certain way, then you can go to the manipulation level. So you have extremely fine control over all this, but it's also kind of a multi-tiered control. So you don't have to jump right into the processing of all kinds of touch data if you don't need to, if all you need to do is capture a touch.
That's great.
All right, so let's look at, there's one code show demo that will showcase this to some degree, and that is called pointer input. Now, in pointer input, I've got a couple of sections here. I've got click versus MS pointer, and then I've got gesture. I hope to expand on this more in the future, but
sure.
For now, this is what it is. For the click versus MS pointer, I can't actually, I don't have a touch device here. I'm just going to rub that in. I'm going to just let our tech guys know that they. But I do have a pen and I have a mouse. I do have.
Yeah,
a
be
pen.
Happy with your pen.
I do have a pen and I have a mouse. Before it gets taken from me. Now, if I click in this frame, it says click, right?
Yep.
It definitely says click.
It says click.
Now let me touch it with the pen.
Oh. That wasn't very exciting.
No. That is not what we wanted to see, is it?
No.
I click with the mouse, I touch with the pen. Click with the mouse, touch with the pen.
Yeah.
This is not exciting.
No.
It's easy. It's certainly easy. I'm capturing the click event, and when the user clicks or touches or draws or whatever, it's going to say click. All it recognizes is a click.
Okay.
But look at the next box. Okay. This one, when I click, it says mouse. Okay. And when I touch with the pen, it says pen. Okay, that's just that is pretty huge. Being able to recognize the difference between those two. Okay?
That is huge.
Yeah. Now, what happens if I touch in here and I hold it down? It's just a mouse click.
Sure.
What happens if I touch with the pen and hold it down? It's just a pen click. It doesn't know anything about a gesture, which is kind of a combination of movements that a user is going to make when he after he puts his finger or pen or mouse down and before he picks it back up again, right? Huh.
This seems like a segue to something.
It does. It seems like a segue to this. So now let me touch in here, and it says, hey, tapped.
Ooh.
Whether I use the mouse or the pen, I'm not discerning at this point.
Right.
But it recognizes when I have tapped in there, and it recognizes, actually, the tap is a very simple gesture, but the tap is a gesture. It knows that I have put down and picked up within a certain amount of time such that that was actually just a tap. Okay. Cool. You want to see what happens when I touch it with my finger?
Please.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, because that was a jab. Okay.
Okay, but
I'm just now getting that. Okay.
But. But if I hold down with my mouse and let go. Oh, there we go. Holding. I had to hold long enough. If I hold down long enough, it's recognized this combination of movements, which is the holding down, not moving, and then lifting back up, recognized it as a gesture and said, holding there. Okay? So I hope to expand this one with a whole bunch of other gestures that it can recognize, but currently they're not in there. But I do want to bring your attention to, and I've shown you this before, let me go to dev.windows.com and go to the samples. And in the samples, you're going to find an example. If you just look for gesture and then probably filter it by JavaScript. Let me try the gesture again. Filter it by JavaScript. You're going to find a lot of different stuff on gestures. Some of these are extremely complicated, but this instantiable gestures is a really good one. It's not too complicated, and I'm actually going to run that now. I've already got it installed on the machine.
Oh, good.
So I can just launch this gesture.
Mm-hmm.
We can see these three different scenarios. And in the simple scenario, it gives you a little demonstrate, a little explanation there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to go ahead and click start.
Okay.
Okay? So now I wanted to touch it.
I know.
Now I've got a number of tiles on the screen. And I can grab that with the mouse and drag it around.
Okay.
Okay? And then I can grab the individual tiles out of it and move them around. And they recognize different gestures. For instance, I'm going to swipe on this tile, and you'll see that it had some inertia.
Ooh, inertia.
Some inertia. Yeah. Whoa!
Oh!
Lost it!
That was funny.
For some reason, that was extremely funny. Now, if I hold down, it recognizes the holding gesture, and it resets the whole thing.
I see.
So we don't have to worry about that. Yeah,
okay.
We got that. Oh!
Okay, got it.
But it recognizes the holding gesture.
Good.
It recognizes the tapped gesture, and it
Whoa.
Changes the color. And so you can go behind this demo. All the code is available for you. You can go behind this demo and see exactly how they did it. But instead of showing theirs, I'm just going to show you the relatively simple code that's behind my demo. And it is called input. Let me just show you the JavaScript. Now, for the click versus pointer, here's the first one. That's that first box.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper simple. All mm-hmm. I'm doing is recognizing a click, remember? And it recognized
right.
everything as a click.
That's right.
Now I want to add an event listener for the MS pointer up.
Whoa.
That means after I've clicked or touched or, what's the third one? Moused? Yeah, clicked
yes.
or touched or penned.
Penned.
And I've lifted it up.
Yes.
That event fires and it looks for the difference between these two. Was that a touch or was it a pen or was it a mouse?
Okay.
And then the last thing I want to show you is the gesture. If in my gesture, I basically capture the mouse pointer down, I'm still using that mouse pointer down,
mm-hmm.
but in that mouse pointer down, I'm interacting with this GR thing. This is a gesture recognizer. This gesture recognizer I set up, and it says, all right, I know how to recognize gestures. You just tell me when the mouse went down and when the mouse came up and things like that,
nice.
And I'll recognize them as gestures, and I'll throw certain events. Okay? So it's going to recognize the holding, recognize the tapping, fire those events, and then we're going to be able to respond to those events in our UI.
That's cool. So you're actually, at the end of that all in your code, you're actually getting to the point where you can name those gestures that you are listening for.
Yep.
That's
very actually cool. Right here, I've determined that I want this gesture recognizer mm-hmm. to be looking for holding with a mouse,
got
tapping,
it.
And dragging.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
It's really awesome, actually.
It's very cool.
I think it's a little better than not too bad.
I agree.
There's one more thing I want to mention.
Yes.
I don't have any of the demos prepared for you, but
okay. That
is that next level, which is the manipulations.
Okay.
If the tapping and the mouse pointer and the gesture is not enough for you, then you go into manipulations and you have full control over everything that the user does. Again, all of those touch points, you have full control over those. So if you've got a PhD in dynamics and physics and all these things and you know how to handle that much data, feel free to use it.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, now looking at our module agenda, we are to the point where we can start to introduce tiles. And, I think this is one of those, if I'm correct, I believe this is one of those traits of a really good app.
Absolutely.
You know, is that you got to have some good tiles.
Why?
So, well, I'll tell you what. As a, it's one thing to have it kind of explained to you like, okay, we're going to have this and that, and you're kind of getting excited. Then I've been using Windows 8 for, it's been months and months, and I'm finding that I'm using tiles a lot. Myself as a user, I'm taking myself as a developer out of the equation. I'm sitting there, and I am actually seeing, oh, that tweet just came in. And I can see over here that this, I just got notified about this mail through this live tile over here. And you know what? I don't like the way that tile looks over here, so I'm going to minimize it, or I'm even going to remove it. It's so much better than maybe how our competitors might have just a stale something just sitting there. I am already involved with my apps, and I haven't even opened one yet. So I love that. I just think that that's a very compelling story. So we can make either simple adjustments to tiles as developers, or we can introduce live tiles, and we can even introduce badge notifications. And I thought what might be really nice to do right now is if you could, Mr. Jeremy, maybe show us on your experience how simple we can make simple adjustments with tiles.
Sure, absolutely. Anytime you're on your machine and you tap the Windows key, you all know by now that you get the start experience, right? You get a start screen. And the start screen is full of tiles, which have an inherent advantage over icons in that they're not just static. They actually are going to bring back information. You can see on my screen right now, and I know you all know this, you can see that these tiles are moving in a dynamic fashion. They might be moving just because some local information got updated. They might be moving because a new news article came in. I got an email. I got a tweet from a friend with my mention or something like that. And so these tiles are informing the user. It's quite common for me personally to turn on my tablet, glance at my tiles, and then turn it right back off. I got enough information just from glancing at the tiles.
Absolutely.
And if that's not enough, it besides just giving the user that information, it also makes them want to click on it. I mean, I see right here that somebody mentioned me in a tweet, so it makes me want to touch that and open it and see exactly what was said. Or the mail app makes me want to go read my mail, and the pictures app makes me want to go look at a new picture of a friend that was just posted on Facebook, for
sure.
Instance. So there's an inherent advantage of tiles over icons. Now, you can manage your tiles extensively by doing things like, for instance, let's say I'm not interested in what Bing is bringing back to me, so I can right-click on that, and I can go down to the app bar. And by the way, that's the default behavior, is to right-click on things and get the app bar. And I can make that smaller. And so now Bing is going to render a smaller image for me. And then I can grab that and drag it and move it somewhere else. I can rearrange this however I want. And now it looks like it's going to fit better if it's large, so I'm going to go ahead and make that large. Now you'll notice that there's an 80-pixel space in between these two sections. These are different sections.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's like there's groups, and if I semantically zoom out, I can see that there are groups, and I can actually address these as groups. So now I can select one or the other groups and do something to it. Let me name this one and say, these are my favorite apps. So now those are my favorite. These ones, these are just apps.
I see.
Now I'll zoom back in, and now I've got my favorites and my apps.
Cool.
So lots of good tile management there. Now let me take you to the Code Show project and show you how we implemented. I should show you the Code Show tile first. Sure. Yeah, here's the Code Show tile.
Okay.
This is the large version.
Okay.
I right click on it and I make it smaller, and now it renders like that.
Sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not implementing a live tile yet, but it most certainly could. What can you imagine we could do with a live tile there?
A lot.
I'll tell you, I've got an idea. As soon as a new demo is posted,
there you go.
It could automatically update and say, hey, you can learn about whatever now.
That's right.
So let me just show you real quick how that's implemented. In the project, we've got an images folder. In that images folder, we've got some PNG files for like the logo, the header logo, small logo, wide logo, all of those. And then all you have to do is include them in your project and drop them somewhere, and then open your package AppX manifest and define them in here. And the file here tells you, you need 150 by 150 pixel for this one. And where in your project is it? You need a 310 by 150, and so on.
Cool.
Yep. You can specify background colors and stuff like that, and a splash screen as well. So that's something that you can manage in there. But yeah, that's how I use tiles and how I work with tiles as a developer.
Cool. Well, let me show some other things you could do with the tiles. In fact, if you switch over to my screen, I have already running, and again, remember how easy it is to get to these Windows SDK samples. You could just get them new through Visual Studio, or you can download them in a big batch. But we could do so, you know, I grabbed your picture, and I thought, you know what? Let me send first of all, let's see. This is the Windows SDK right now.
Yeah.
You can see it's not doing anything, right? Now I'm going to say, let me send a tile notification with this web image coming from CodeFoster. Now, the benefit of using this SDK is it shows you what the payload, the XML payload, looks like that is being used to communicate. So behind the scenes, there's an API call that really needs that in order to feed the operating system what's to be done. So what does this look like now when we go back? Well, we're going to say, oh, there you are. Woo! You know, and there's that tile notification. That is one way that you can embrace tile notifications and be live. I also want to talk about badge notifications. Now, the thing that is interesting about badge notifications is you use them to indicate a number. So I'm going to give me a number between 1 and 99.
73,
he says. So I am going to send that badge notification. I'll now go back over and look at this. And 73 just appears, and it's always going to be in that area. You would only use a badge notification if it makes sense, if it's a value between 0 and 99. So use it wisely. You don't just put huge numbers there. It's going to represent something that would be meaningful in that particular context of whatever your app is. Maybe it represents all the new samples that have been on Code Show. Who knows? So that's tiles, and I want to also get to, so I'm going to go ahead and close this one down, and let me close Visual Studio here. Yes, I'll stop debugging. And now I want to get into TOS. So, which is different than tiles. I'll go ahead and run that. This is also a Windows SDK. And the benefit here is I don't even have to go back to the start screen to get the benefits of what a TOS notification is. Now, here's the scenario. I want to send, right now by clicking this button, I want to inform the end user that something's going on. And when I click this button, whoo, look at that upper right-hand side there of the screen. Now, that's not just because this app is running. And in fact, it's going to happen even if they're, and usually when they're not inside of this app. This is a way to package. Again, we can add your mugshot here. And it says, okay, that's what it's going to look like. So let's send that toast image. And oh, there he is. He's coming across the screen now, and he's got something to say. And notice how I keep adding more and more. And each one of those would give you the ability to respond. So if I go to responding to toast events, I can display the toast, and then when I click this, it's in the app or in this SDK sample, it says, okay, you clicked on a toast and it had these parameters. So you can actually receive this data back from these toast events and guide them specifically to some area or navigate them to some specific context area within your application. So getting back over to our demonstration or into our presentation, I should say, we chatted about toast notifications, saw a little demo, and I think that the key ingredient with all of the things that we've discussed, because every one of these in themselves, if you think about it, Jeremy, these are all topics that we've discussed in this session that could in themselves go on for a day or two if we wanted to, any one of them. Take advantage of the Windows SDK examples. And we think that you will be able to, in no time, be able to take advantage of some of these features.
Now, if you want to be able to store data that's generated in your app, let the user store data, save their state, talk to a service and store your data in a database, things like that, you should stick around for the next session. We're going to be talking all about data access.
It's going to be exciting. Stay tuned.
Thanks.